You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, Rory Delaghi and Ollie Pimlott. In the studio, it's Epsom, Goodwood and Hamilton on Tuesday afternoon. No evening racing, just three afternoon meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the Monday jury as we usually do on this early edition of the podcast. A bit of news as well, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. So let's get straight stuck into it. The first question of this week's Monday jury is about Cody Bear. Do you fancy Cody Bear to win the QE2, or does he still have it to do?
No, there's no doubt he still has it to do. He's yet to beat proven Group 1 performers, Mark. So he still has it all to do, but he is a horse who's progressing quite rapidly of late. His defeat in the French Guineas might have suggested that his form was just below that required to dine at the top table. But subsequently, his wins at Salisbury and then at the weekend at Goodwood have proven that he maybe wasn't at his best that day over in France. And he is still improving. And Clive Cox, a very, very good trainer, doesn't need me to say that, but he's a trainer who's trained Group 1 winners with the likes of Reckless Abandon and Lethal Force in recent years. So for him to suggest that this horse might be the best he's trained is quite something. Now, as he said at the weekend, it's all well and good saying that it might well be the best you've trained, but they've got to go and do it on the track. But at the moment, Cody Bear is doing that. However, with the likes of Glen Eagles and in particular Solo hanging around, lurking, waiting for rivals to come and tackle them, you'd still say he's got a little bit to do to beat them.
Yeah, he's a 7-1 shot in the betting at the moment for the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes. Solo heads that market at even money. Glen Eagles 4-1. Sevens for Cody Bear, Territories 8, 10s for Esoteric.
It shows how far he's come though when you look at Territories beat him quite comfortably in France. Three starts back for Cody Bear, yet Cody Bear's a point shorter than him. So, you know, he is a progressive horse, but he's just got a little bit to do to master the likes of Solo and Glen Eagles, you feel?
Yeah, I think the ground's important as well. If it's got a bit of cut in it, then Cody Bear comes right into it. Glen Eagles probably won't run, and I don't know about Solo. I think he's all right with a bit of juice.
Yeah, I think he'll handle a bit of juice, no problem. It all depends on how soft it comes up. But Cody Bear's quite versatile. You know, he's gone on soft ground, but he also has gone on quicker ground. He's a son of Kodiak as well,
yep.
So you wouldn't necessarily think he'd want it bottomless.
No, that's fair enough. Second question, if you owned American Pharoah, would you go to the Classic or retire him?
I think you've got, that all depends on how he's come out of the race and if there was something behind his below par performance. Whether it's just a succession of hard races,
yep,
at different venues, with him having to travel to all these different venues, having left its mark, or whether there is an underlying problem. We don't know that. That's probably only going to come to light over the next week or 10 days, you feel. But that wasn't his true running at the weekend. If he does bounce back to some of his best and is showing his old spark at home in his work, then we've got a couple of months till the Breeders' Cup, and you'd have to think very strongly about taking him. If he were okay, and it's a big if, then I would lean towards running him in the Classic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because the American Triple Crown happens very quickly, doesn't it? All the races are quite close together. Mm. He's then gone to the Haskell and won that as well.
Yeah.
If it is a case of just too much racing, then you don't want to blemish his record further by ruining him in the Classic.
No, that's a very good point. But as I say, I don't think a decision will be made immediately, because we do have a couple of months, as I say, till the Classic. So the connections will want to take their time, and rightly so, you feel.
Okay. Could Sword Dancer win a Flintshire, go one better in the Arc this year?
Flintshire's not good enough to win an Arc, is he? He's a solid group grade one performer, but against the very, very best mile and a half horses in the world, he just comes up short. Now, he ran a blinder in the arc last year to finish second, but with Trev still around, and if you throw in the likes of Golden Horn, Jack Hobbs, and Erupt, along with one or two others, then you just feel he's going to come up short again. So admirable as he is, I can't see him winning an arc.
No. If it was mine, I'd concentrate more on the Breeders' Cup.
Breeders' Cup, yeah. He was beaten favourite in the race last year, wasn't he? But of course, he'd run in the arc. This year, if they were to miss the arc and head straight there, he'd go there a fresher horse. And yep. Let's not forget, Prince Khalid Abdullah's operation do have New Bay to represent them in the arc this year, so it is an option.
We're going 7-1 joint favourites in the Haydock Sprint Cup, 7-1 the field. The market headed by Dan Zeno and Gordon Lord Byron, who are both 7-1, 8-1 for Adair, Limato 8s, 9s for Matt Moo, Magical Memory 10-1, G-Force 12s, as are Twilight Sun and Wadi, and Soul Power is 14s, it's 16s or bigger for the others. Nice easy question, really, at this point. Who'd you like for the
Brilliant. Looks an up-to-scratch renewal anyway. You've got last year's winner, G-Force. Gordon Lord Byron took it the year before. G-Force might look a little big if bouncing back to his best form mark. He's been campaigning over 5 this year, but he's returned to the scene of his biggest triumph, so 12th one looks a little bit big. Adair is a horse that I really like. He's as hard as nails. Whether he'd be a little bit more comfortable now over 7, I don't know. The Connections experimented with 7 furlongs last time out, and it was an experiment that that paid off handsomely. Magical Memories of a fast-improving 3-year-old. Who'd have thought at the start of this year that he'd be contesting Group 1s? But no, he's proven himself, and that was a good performance in the Stewards' Cup last time out. And Matt Moo has run really well all season for Tim East to be in his team. He got that win in Ireland 2 starts back, ran a cracker in the Nunthorpe to finish 3rd last time out. And 9-1 might be a big... particularly if the rains come this week, Mark. We're getting rain all over the country as we speak. So if we got further rain, Matt Moo would come into the equation. I've mentioned about 17 runners there. not really coming down on one. I suppose at this stage, I'd take G-Force and Matt Moo at the prices.
Okay. If that wasn't difficult enough, it gets even tougher now because price-wise, he's tackling the autumn double this week. What's your advice? it's a very, very tricky question, so you might not have to be too detailed.
My advice is that you should wait until the morning of the race to see what runs, what's drawn where, and so on and so forth. I mean, you've got the likes of Clondor Warrior, Quick Jack, Max Dynamite heading the betting. They're not all certain to run. Clondor Warrior, Frankie suggested to William Mullins post-race after the Ebor that racing might be catching up with him, and he's just had plenty of racing, so... it wouldn't surprise me if Clondor Warrior is out on his summer holidays now even. So it's very, very tough. William of Orange is a horse who stays very well. I see he's 16-1 for the race with us. He'd be mildly interested in the Cesarewitch at this stage, but I certainly wouldn't be having a bet.
No, not yet. What about the Cambridgeshire?
Cambridgeshire. Yeah. See, Decorated Knight is the 12th one favourites, then 14-1 about Basem and Bread and 16s barring those. I'd be very hard pushed to put forward one, truth be told. Although if the ground wasn't the easy side, Master Carpenter's already enjoyed a very good year for the Millmans, but he might just be improving and could appeal as a likely type for the Cambridgeshire. 20-1 looks about right for him.
Okay, not a bad little swerve there, I suppose. But you gave a few, so
yeah, we right. haven't come down fully on any, but one of those races due to be on the end of September, so. I've got a month to make my mind up, as do listeners.
Okay, final question of this week's Monday, Jari. Give us a horse to watch out for away from the bright lights.
Ooh. I'll give you one from our own yard, I haven't seen too much racing over the weekend. We go to Haydock later this week, the first day of the Sprint Cup meeting, 6 furlong maiden, a horse called I Kerin Road, who was just touched off on debut at Newcastle over 7 furlongs, is likely to run in the 6 furlong maiden there. And both my dad and I have strong belief that this is probably the best horse we have in our yard.
Really?
I think he's a potential top-notcher, so I hope he's able to go and break his maiden tag on Thursday.
Right, interesting stuff. Good work. That's the Monday jury then for another week. Just a bit of news I want to touch on as well before we move on to Tuesday's action. Two horses of high profile I've retired. We'll start with Telescope, Sir Michael Stout's runner. For me, he's always just fallen short of the top level. He's always been a talking horse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we won't get to see if he actually eventually gets the big success.
Yeah, sadly, he never got that Group 1, did he?
No.
His best performance came at Royal Ascot last year, no doubt. when routing his opposition in the Hardwick Stakes. It looked like he was then set to go and win a Group 1, was sent off favourite for the King George. It wasn't to be. Look, he was a very, very good horse, Telescope, but the facts tell the story that he just came up short against the very, very best. But my, wouldn't you have liked to have owned him? You know, he's taken them to plenty of top gigs that the Highclere Syndicate that have been involved with him. And now he's set to embark on a stallion's career, whether that be as a flat stallion or maybe further down the line as a National Hunt stallion. Who knows? But he'll be an interesting addition to the stallion roster, given that he's a top-class son of Galileo.
Hmm. You mentioned it'd be great to own him. It'd be even better to own Hurricane Fly, I imagine. The record-breaking hurdler has been retired on Monday.
I couldn't think of many horses that I'd rather own than Hurricane Fly over the last 20 years. Could you?
He's a horse of a lifetime. Maybe Frank Arnold, a man of owning.
Yeah.
Maybe those two.
But the longevity of Hurricane Fly as an owner will probably have given you more satisfaction.
Yeah, so many years of...
And I know that you enjoy getting your tweed on and heading for Cheltenham as well, Mark, in March. So
proper racing.
Yeah, you'd have enjoyed that as well. But no, I mean, Hurricane Fly has just been an absolute legend of a horse. And we can't do him justice sitting in this studio waxing lyrical about him. You know, he just was so good. And I mean, this final year of his career was arguably one of his most thrilling in terms of viewing, particularly early in the season when there were suggestions that he should have been retired. And then to go and win those races over in Ireland, the Irish Champion Hurdle particularly, beating the new kids on the block, the likes of Jeske, it was just brilliant and really sent a shiver down your spine watching it. And he's going to be hard. He's going to be a hard act to replace in the William Mullins yard, but I do feel they've one or two other Grade One performers who might just make a bold bid at filling the void.
Yeah, he's. I don't know how he's going to fill that void. He hasn't got any other top class horses I can think of.
No. I mean, what they need is something like Fourheen.
Yeah,
don't they?
Something like that, yeah. Or a Vortor or any other plethora of good horses he's got. It's interesting what you mentioned there, though. The season, last season, he was almost written off. It's similar to Corto Star a few years ago, where people say they should be retired, and then they come back and have one or two big hurrahs, and they prove that they've still got it against the younger legs. And that's just that. If you can't relate to that, then
it's just magical, isn't it? Yeah. That's probably what National Hunt Racing is all about. You see a number of generations pitching in against each other, whereas on the flat, the classic generation might take on the four-year-olds. There'll be the odd five-year-old in the field. Jumps racing, we have, you know, you look at the Gold Cup, for example, this year, won by a novice finished second, you'd a few old-timers back in third and fourth. I know it really is. That's what makes National Hunt Racing, and that's what made Hurricane Fly so special. He kept fending off generation after generation. Second-season novices, year on year, he was beating them.
Mm-hmm.
Young pretenders, they couldn't get near him.
Yep, he deserves a happy retirement, does the old boy. One horse that isn't retiring just yet, good news as well, because he's another one of my favourite horses from the National Hunt scene, Balthazar King. Just reading this morning that he's going to be back in training, by the looks of things.
Yeah, good news after suffering that awful fall.
I feared the worst.
In the National, he broke his ribs, wasn't it, he broke. And so, good to get him back on track. He's not getting any younger, but the Hobbs team and his owners will just be delighted that he's in one piece, and anything he can do from here on in has to be viewed as a bonus, doesn't it?
Yeah, and one member of the Hobbs team that is going great guns at the moment, Richard Johnson. He looks as if he's finally going to get his first Jockeys Championship, providing all stays well for the rest of the season. But he's talking about how he's trying to emulate AP's professionalism and the way he went around the tracks just to get the job done, and he's in a great position to do so.
Yeah, he is, and everyone, I'm sure, is rooting for Dickie Johnson, and I really do feel that this is his year, and I think he's going to take a hell of a lot of stopping, providing injuries don't intervene, and let's just keep fingers crossed that is not the case.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's plenty. Let's move on. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's racing. We're going to look at some of the action at Goodwood and some of the action at Epsom and one race from Hamilton as well. And Sean's going to give us his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, going through these in time order, we start in the 3:05 at Epsom. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 8 here, Sean. Who do you want to start with in there?
We'll start with Deauville Prince, the top horse, who went close at Chester recently, finishing second behind Ballesteros, only beating a short head on that occasion. That was a bounce back to something like his best. Deauville Prince, he's been notched up a little bit in the weights, up to a mark of £93, but that might improve beyond him, and he is likely to be favourite and a worthy favourite. He's pretty versatile with regards going, Mark, so I would imagine that that Deauville Prince is going to take a bit of beating. Muir Lodge, though, is another horse who's enjoyed a good time of things this year, and he was a winner at Newmarket last time out, beating Regal Parade and Mon Brave Eastern Racer back and forth in a thrilling finish, a race of changing complexions. He just got up to lead narrowly on the post, and I think he's likely to mount another bold bid for the George Baker team, with James Doyle keeping the ride. Others to consider, well, you've got Regal Parade, the old boy still showing plenty of spark at the age of 11. He's probably likely to come up short, but he's sure to give his usual solid running. King Lamy is a consistent type as well, who ran a good race last time out when finishing third behind Pastoral Player and Muta Wathia in a 7-furlong handicap around Goodwood. As I say, that was hotly contested, and a repeat of that form would see King Lamy go very close. But I'm going to stick with the top weight Deauville Prince.
Okay, Deauville Prince for Sean in that race. Moving on to the 3:35 at Ipswich next. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got 8 runners in this one, so maybe a nice each-way shape to the race. Sean, who'd you like in there?
Yeah, I think one that I'll mention first up is Harlequin Striker, who was a winner last time out for Mick Shannon towards the start of the month. He won at Fosse Lass on ground that was on the soft side of good, beat Poil Jessica a short head. This horse is fully effective on soft ground. There was a winner at Newbury last year on soft ground, and given how soft it is at Epsom, as we're recording this podcast on Monday afternoon, it's already heavy in places at Epsom. I think that's going to suit Harlequin Striker down to the ground. Others to mention are the horse of Charlie Hills is Calima Breeze, an improving daughter of Oasis Dream. Whether she'll be fully comfortable on very testing ground, I don't know, though. And Live Dangerously, who down the bottom, who carries a £4 penalty as a result of a win at Goodwood on soft ground only 4 days ago. He probably rates the biggest danger to Harlequin Striker, given that we know he handles very soft ground.
Yeah, but Harlequin Striker for you?
Harlequin Striker, the selection.
Moving on to the 4:55 at Goodwood next. This is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. And a couple of these arrive in winning form, the likes of Vincenti and Petticside. Either of those two on the shortlist here?
Yeah, Vincenti notched his first win for a few years 9 days ago. First win in 3 years, I think, when winning at Brighton. The ease in the ground will suit Vincenti as well. He's a horse who likes to get his toe in, so you wouldn't rule out a follow-up win entirely. And as you say, Petticside won here on Friday evening. I tipped him up. I was in the studio. I tipped him up, and he just got up in the dying strides of that apprentice handicap under Cam Hardy. As a result of that being an apprentice handicap, he escapes a penalty for this race. Cam Hardy takes the ride again. He's going to get the vote for me simply because he escapes that penalty. He handled easy ground the other day. We know he likes the track. There are a lot of ticks in the boxes for Petticside.
Yeah, it's a course where course and distance form is key, isn't it, Goodwood, with the undulations?
Yeah.
And the soft ground as well. It's gonna turn the form book on its head a little bit.
Well, horses that run well at Goodwood tend to repeat it, don't they?
Yeah.
It is a track that is quite hard for some horses, with it would have been quite a little bit undulating, and a lot of the track racing downhill, not all horses are comfortable doing that, but Petticside seemed pretty comfortable on Friday evening.
Okay, we're finishing the 5:05 at Hamilton. This is a Class 2 nursery. It's the Hamilton Park 2-year-old nursery final, and we've got a field of 10 here, nice and competitive to finish off here, Sean.
Yeah, Farkle Minkus bolted up in an air maiden last month and has been given an opening mark of 85. I'm just not sure how strong that air form is, so for that reason I'll pass him over. And the two that I'd be interested in here are Richard Fye's horse at the top, first to post, who finished second on debut early in the season at Pontefract behind Sixth Sense. Was disappointed then up at Hamilton in a race won by Dressed in Fur, but last time out at Carlisle was a decent winner over Strummer. Strummer was the horse who finished second behind Farkle Minkus. So on strict form terms, First to post has a little bit of to do to master Farkle-Minkus, but I think he might be set to go the right way now, and I like his draw in stall 10. The other horse that that interests me is Candelisa. This is a horse, a son of Dream Ahead, who seems well suited by getting his toe into the ground. He was fifth behind Eltazam on debut at Haydock in a good race that worked out well, then was second behind Bint Aldar here at Hamilton to qualify for this race, and last time out at Ayr beat No Education by a short head. No Education has come out and run a really good race in a listed race at Deauville subsequently. So the form looks decent, and Candelisa to me looks to be a horse that could still have a little bit of improvement in him. So Jed O'Keefe's horse gets the vote for me, with Graham Lee doing the steering.
Okay, Candelisa then for Sean. In the final race there at Hamilton, let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yep, sure thing. In the Epsom 305, I'm going to go with the top weight Deauville Prince to go one better than he did at Chester recently. We then go to the 335 at the same course, and Harlequin Striker is a horse who should be well suited by conditions. We'll take him to follow up a recent win. We then switch tack to Goodwood, and I'll go with Friday night's winner, Petockside, who escapes a penalty as a result of winning that apprentice handicap. Cam Hardy takes the ride once more, and then up to Scotland for the big nursery at Hamilton. And I like the look of Candelisa, who should be suited by conditions, and I think could still be open to a little bit of improvement off this mark of 79.
Good work. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gareth Topham, Rory Delaghi and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studios. Epsom, Goodwood and Hamilton. So some good racing on the turf to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.